Let us open in prayer. God, we're grateful for what you're doing in our lives as we come to worship you this morning. We pray that you would continue to speak to us through the message. Lord, that you would help us to hear your voice. And I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart would be pleasing to you, my rock and my Savior. Amen. So how are you doing on this 31-day prayer challenge at this midpoint of the month? You see, during this challenge, we're learning to use the Lord's Prayer as taught by Jesus as a model for our prayer time with God. My guess is that some of you have begun to experience a more keen awareness of God's presence in your lives. As many have noted before, prayer takes effort, will, and time. And as each of these are put forth in this endeavor of prayer, you will be taken to a deeper place with God, deeper maybe than you have been before. This is an exciting month here. All of this exertion of prayer, it's pleasing to God. In our first week of the prayer challenge, we have learned to call on Father God in heaven, worshiping God by name, using this list of names that God has been known by in the Bible. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. In the second part of the Lord's Prayer, Jesus teaches us to desire the kingdom, the reign of God in our lives, the rule of God in our lives, and to desire the will of God to be done by us in our time here on earth as it is in heaven. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. It is here we are submitting ourselves to God. We are asking God to help our desires line up with God's desires for our lives. Pray with me now as I incorporate these two elements of the Lord's Prayer. Our Father in heaven, God Most High, the great I Am who created all that is seen and unseen, we praise your mighty name. In the flesh, Jesus, you are the bread of life, the light of the world, the true vine that gives eternal life to all who call on your name. In spirit, you are the breath of life residing within us, guiding us into a life of holiness. You are the one true living God, Father, Son, and Spirit, and we worship you. We ask that not only would you reign in heaven, but you would help us to open our hearts so that you can reign in our lives now, that your kingdom would rule in our very being now. It is our desire in this moment, this day, that we not only seek your will, but follow your will, wherever it takes us, for your kingdom's sake, that we would love you and all others you have put into our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. We now come to the third section of the Lord's Prayer. Let's say it together. Give us this day our daily bread. Sometimes it's important to look at what a phrase says and also to look at what a phrase does not teach us. For instance, this phrase does not ask God to provide for our future needs. It doesn't ask God to give us wealth or to be prosperous. This is important in a day when some are teaching a prosperity gospel, that financial blessing is the will of God for Christians, and that faith, positive speech, and donations to Christian ministries will always increase one's material wealth. The prosperity gospel has been creeping into traditional Christian teaching for about the last 60 years. And we see this best when we look mainly at televangelists. Give to this ministry and God will bless you materially. This is the kind of teaching that moves people away from what the Bible speaks about. Jesus, who is God's Son, relied on God the Father to supply his daily needs. And nowhere is Jesus seen accumulating wealth or possessions. In fact, Jesus tells his followers to store up treasures where? In heaven, where moth and rust do not destroy. Give us this day does not promote the accumulation of wealth or material goods. It may be helpful for us who live today in the most prosperous country where even middle-class people might be considered well off in comparison to the rest of the world to understand the conditions of the Bible times. For Adam and Eve, God gave them every seed-bearing plant and fruit of the trees. This includes spices, fruits, vegetables, grains. The grains would be milled and used as a type of flour from which bread was made. So their daily food was a daily gathering, a daily providing from God to them. After the Garden of Eden, for Cain and Abel, their sons, it seemed one was a farmer of the land and the other a farmer of animals. The daily bread came from what they grew or the livestock they raised, not from the refrigerated section in the grocery store. And this continues through the Old and into the New Testament. There was no refrigeration at this time, and so food was truly provided for on a daily basis. Give us this day, Lord, our daily bread. The danger for us today is we are becoming removed from the farming process where we are dependent upon the sunshine and rain to grow the food in season that we need to survive. It seems it would be easy to let this part of the Lord's Prayer slide as we can, for the most part, meet our own daily bread. But that's the problem for us, isn't it? The thought that we no longer need God to provide daily, as we can provide for ourselves, or so we think. To me, this is a ploy of the evil one to have us believe we can take care of ourselves, our own daily needs, without God's provisions. After all, I went to college and I received a degree which then allowed me to work in the programming industry, first at a small engineering firm and then at two different Ford locations. Even though it was God who called me into full-time ministry, I went to seminary for another 4 years for a Master's of Divinity. I went through another three-year process with the Detroit Annual Conference's Board of Ordained Ministry to first be affirmed and then be ordained as a minister of the gospel. And Satan wants me to think and believe that I am where I am because of my efforts and my efforts alone. It is this ploy by the Father of Lives where we are dependent upon our provision through a mechanized system of which we are the end of the chain, no longer dependent upon God's provision. Give us this day our daily bread. Yet there are three concepts, really truths, that stand out to me about this portion of the Lord's Prayer, which demands our attention. First is the recognition that it is God who does provide. Whether we can see it or not, God provides what is needed for food to grow. A planet that rotates around the sun in such a way that the sun creates a process called photosynthesis in plants, which allow a plant to produce their own food. Weather patterns which seem to provide water and earth to provide nutrients. It is God who still provides. Secondly, our asking God to provide is one which occurs daily, where we need to literally ask God to provide, which keeps us ever mindful of what God does do in our lives. This is often best done by thanking God before every meal, before we consume those meals daily. God is the one who provides daily. And third, finally, like biblical saints, we ask God for our needs, the food which will sustain us for another day. Yes, God knows what we need before we ask, and let's not confuse needed food versus the food we want or the food we desire. We must remember, it is God who provides for our daily bread. He lived in the 1800s, and like a good father, he saw a need for the children in Bristol, England. As I read about George Mueller, I found a man completely reliant on God's word and God's provision through prayer. He never solicited money for what he needed, always going straight to the provider. You see, George and his wife Mary began to help orphans in 1836 with the preparation of their own rented home. They became the father and mother for 30 orphaned girls. Soon after, three more houses were furnished for girls and boys, eventually increasing the capacity for 130 children who could be cared for. In 1849, a new home for 300 additional children opened. Listen, the architect, commissioned to draw up the plans, asked if he might do it gratuitously, that is, without charge. And by May 26, 1870, 1,722 children were being accommodated in these five houses. Again, through all this, Mueller never made requests for financial support, nor did he go into debt, even though the five homes cost over £100,000 to build. In case you might be wondering, in today's economy, that would be about $12.5 million by prayer. Give us this day our daily bread. Listen as it gets better, especially in what we would consider some very challenging times for the orphanage. Many times Mueller received unsolicited food donations only hours before they were needed to feed the children, further strengthening his faith in God. For example, on one well-documented occasion, they gave thanks for breakfast, all 300 of them, when all the children were sitting at the table, even though there was nothing to eat in the house. As they finished praying, the baker knocked on the door with sufficient bread to feed everyone. And then the milkman gave them plenty of fresh milk, because his cart broke down in front of the orphanage and knew his milk would only spoil. Can you begin to understand how important it is for us to realize that it is God who provides for our daily bread? It is God, yes, God who gives us the talents and the abilities. It is God who gives us the minds to make the materials from which we build machines, which can sow and harvest great fields of crops. It is God who provides all of the raw materials from which everything grows. I was speaking the other day with Ron Worthman and the two gentlemen who put up the new fullback monitor in the back of the church, and we agreed that one of the most dangerous misnomers for Christians is this idea of coincidence. Or we call it good luck or great timing instead of what it is, God's provisions. We think, wow, what timing, instead of thanking God for putting us or others in the right place at the right time. What would happen if every time something happened which helps us, we just said out loud, thank you, God, for providing. Thank you, God, for providing. Remember, a couple of weeks ago, I shared about a friend of mine's dad when I was 22, who in the middle of a busy dinner time at McDonald's, prayed out loud, thanking God for our food. He was a father, and at that time a grandfather, thanking God for the provision we had before us. And God used that moment to remind me of truly who I should be thanking for my daily bread. Again, about George Mueller, he prayed about everything and expected each prayer, each provision to be answered. One example was when one of the orphan house's boilers stopped working. Mueller needed to have it fixed. Now, this was a problem because the boiler was bricked up and the weather was worsening with each day. So he prayed for two things. First, that the workers he had hired would have a mind to work throughout the night. Secondly, that the weather would let up. On the Tuesday before the work was due to commence, a bitter north wind still blew, but in the morning before the workmen arrived, a southerly wind began to blow, and it was so mild that no fires were needed to heat the houses. That evening, the foreman of the contracted company attended the site to see how he might speed things along and instructed the men to report back first thing in the morning to make an early resumption of the work. The team leader, though, stated that they would prefer to work through the night, and the job was done in 30 hours. If that doesn't inspire you about prayer. Mueller's faith in his Father God and the understanding of where he got his daily provisions strengthened him day by day. And I can understand this as he spent hours in daily prayer and Bible reading. Indeed, it was his practice in later years to read through the entire Bible four times a year. In Luke, after Jesus teaches the disciples how to pray, he says these words, almost challenging us and providing for us what we need. Jesus says, "So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, it will be open." George knew that answers to prayer came about not just with asking for God's daily bread. He was also worshiping God. He was asking God to reign or to rule in his heart, and he was asking God to reveal his will for his life. And then George went and lived that out. As I understand what Jesus is teaching us through the Lord's Prayer and these words, seek God first for everything in your life and acknowledge that God is the provider. Now I have a twofold challenge this week for you in your prayer life. One is to ask God daily to provide your needs, your daily needs. And then secondly, acknowledge God and say, "Thank you, God, for whatever it is that happens in your life," as you continue to submit yourself to God's rule and seek God's will. There is no coincidence. It is a God incidence. And so say thank you, God, for whatever that is that occurs in your life. Mueller dedicated his life to God's work and wrote frequently about the stewardship of money and the non-reliance on earthly riches and how God would bless the man who kept to these principles, and felt that laying his own experiences bare would provide the truth of his claims. You see, George Mueller's personal income from unsolicited gifts, as he refused any kind of salary, rose from 151 pounds in 1831 to more than 2,000 pounds in 1870. In today's terms, he began with $18,933 in 1831, and it rose to $250,000. Wow. However, George only retained around 300 pounds a year for himself and his family, which amounted to about $37,616 a year. The rest of that money he gave away, which amounted to $213,000 a year. but even above the income. The most impressive thing to me is he became the father to over 10,000 orphans through the years. And when they became old enough to make their own living, he would place in their right hand a Bible and in their left hand a coin. And then he would explain to the young person that if he held on to what was in the right hand, God would always make sure that there was something in his left hand as well. Jesus said, "Seek first the kingdom." And George sought first God, his kingdom and his will, and lived into the kingdom of God and the will of God for his life. His practice was to always go to God first for his daily bread, really for all things, all needs. And it seems like to me we should be doing that too. Let us pray. Almighty God, we thank you and praise you for reminding us that all things come from you. All of our talents, all of our gifts, all of our abilities, the food we eat, the shelter we have, the clothes we wear, ultimately all things come from you. And we ask now in Jesus' name that you would help us to seek first the kingdom, that you would help us to seek first your will, your rule for our life, and our daily bread. In Jesus' name, amen.